Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Here we are again with the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. Mark Schatz is here. My name is Paul Adams, and we are ready to study in Luke chapter 2. Last time we left off where Jesus has been born. Mary and Joseph have traveled to Bethlehem, and Jesus is born. We know that the shepherds came as they were instructed to by the angels, and that much praise was given on this great Bible event. And they named him just as it was told them, to name him Jesus, and that was the name in which they obeyed the command of the Lord, and they called him Jesus. Now, Mark, we come now to Luke chapter 2, and we begin around verse 22, and we see that Joseph and Mary and Jesus have not been back to Nazareth yet. They have remained in Bethlehem or in the area surrounding Jerusalem, and they are going to fulfill some things that they need to do.
Yeah, we can see this. We've talked about how faithful this family is, and how they want to do things just the way God instructs them to do things. And we see that continuing as we go on through here. Let's read verses 22 down through 24, and let's see what they did. It said, "When the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." There's several things, Paul, that we're going to talk about that they did up there, and we'll make some observations and see a lesson for us today, too. But one thing that jumps out at me in those three verses is how often it mentioned according to the law or according to the Lord or written in the law. And you see them continuing to do exactly what they should be doing. They want to please God in every action that they take, and we see them continuing to do that. It's interesting, too, and this just struck me, I don't know what to make of it, but as it talks about, as it was written in the law of the Lord, we see this family concerned with it, and then later in Jesus' life, when he's tempted by Satan, as we have it recorded in the scriptures, he says, it is written, and we see that continuing on even. We see maybe the roots of that here in the family that is concerned about what is written and being able to do that, and how that it would even flow into Christ and his life as a man and as the Savior of the world, as we look at that.
I think that's a fantastic point, that these are very righteous, young Jewish people. Joseph and Mary were, and that they were obedient to whatever God said for them to do, whether it was written in the law or whether this angel that appeared to them gave them instructions. They were obedient to the message from God, and that's a very important point. Now, we see there that they offered up a sacrifice that was typical for someone who was not rich. They were not people of great means. But Mark, what do you think? Does it take a lot of money? Does it take great earthly wealth to be able to serve God faithfully?
It does not take a lot of money or earthly wealth to be able to serve God. We looked here and they offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was written in the law that if you weren't wealthy, if you didn't have a lamb or something more to give, that you could give this. This is what you were required to give. And in our discussion, we talked about how that God acknowledges people's different abilities, people's different talents, people's different financial abilities even, and he makes provisions for that. God expects us to offer what we can offer, and then it's pleasing to him. And we see that here with these. They couldn't afford something that a wealthy person could afford. God acknowledges that, and he'd made provision, but so they could offer what they could as we look at that.
There's a great point for us today is that God will never expect us to do more than what we can do, but he expects us to do what we can do. And so they could offer up this sacrifice that was appropriate for someone who had been blessed in such a way as them. They were not excused from offering up a sacrifice, but God just expected them to go ahead and do what they could do. As we look on down through here, Mark, we notice that beginning around verse 25, that there's a man there who is waiting. What's he waiting for? His name's Simeon, by the way. What's he waiting for?
Yeah, we're going to see a couple of people here that Jesus meets that were waiting for him at the temple. And this Simeon, it talks about how he was righteous and devout in verse 25. He was looking for the consolation of Israel, and we know the Holy Spirit was on him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So in verse 27, it says, in the Spirit he came into the temple, and he saw the parents of Jesus with the child Jesus, and they were there to do what they were supposed to do according to the law. And here's this Simeon, and he's there, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to him and moving him. He came in the Spirit of the temple, and he sees Jesus, and he says some things about Jesus beginning in verse 28. It says he took Jesus into his arms, he blessed God, and he said, and he talks about some things about Jesus. What were some of the points that he made about Jesus?
Well, it had been revealed to him previously that he would live to see the Christ come, the Messiah, the Lord, born into this world, and he would live to see that. And in verse 29, Mark, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples. He goes on to talk about what that light would represent, what that light would mean. But in essence, Simeon really is saying, now I can die. Now I've come to see this event that's been promised I would get to see, and I've seen that, and I can pass from this life in peace, knowing that God's promise to me was fulfilled. When we see this, Mark, he talks both about joy and heartache. What's the joy of this situation?
Yeah, he talks about the joy, the idea of the salvation that God has prepared in the presence of all the people. He talks about Jesus will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people. And it talks about some other things, too. It says his father and mother were amazed at the things that were being said about Jesus. And in verse 34, Simeon blessed them, and he says to his mother something that might not be as joyous as you think. What's that, Paul?
Well, you're right that he says, obviously, having this child was an incredible blessing, a very special child, a child like no other, the Son of God. Being born through Mary here, but he says there that that there were some things that would be happen, the fall and rising of many in Israel, and a sign, and he said to Mary that a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think she's talking about the sorrow that she would experience in seeing people mistreat her son and ultimately kill him. What you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think that's true, foretelling that or foreshadowing that. He meets another person, Jesus does. He meets another person in the temple, beginning in verse 36. It says there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And look what happens in verse 38. It says, at that very moment she came up, began giving thanks to God, continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. What's really interesting to me, Paul, is these two people, Simeon and Anna, they've devoted their life to what God wants. They've devoted their life to what was important to them, was what was important to God, and we see how God fulfills their lives. And we made the point when we were talking earlier that when we realize and we find out what's important to God, and then we make it important to us, that God will give us a fulfilling life.
I would call upon us to see something that both Simeon and Anna both saw, and that Jesus being born into this world, the Christ, that this was God's plan, and that praise and thanks were to be given. And today, praise and thanks ought to be given that Jesus did come into this world and did all that he did for us. We'll pick up next time in verse 39. We hope that you'll join us at that time as we study through the book of Luke. And we hope that you will observe these moments of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.